Hail and hello, everyone. Welcome to the Random Heathen Ramblings podcast, a Midgard Musings production. Join me, Jesse, your host, as we discuss random heathen-related topics and various other things in an attempt to find where, if any, heathen worldviews can be applied. You can support this podcast by clicking on the Linktree link in the description or show notes. You can also follow me on all of my social media platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and become a patron on Patreon. Join me every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Central on all major podcast streaming platforms, including Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Pandora, and many, many more. If you wish to have your voice heard on the Random Heathen Ramblings podcast, you can dial in to 615-671-9832. Thank you all once again for listening to the Random Heathen Ramblings podcast. Enjoy, and hail to you all.
Party started. Kids are coughing.
Love it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really good ambience in the background.
We got the crickets, we got the birds, and then we got children with
the whooping cough.
Bronchitis or whatever.
Yeah. Sounds like it.
So, guys, welcome to another Random Heathen Ramblings podcast with me and Patrick Walsh in person for the very first time. He's been on the podcast a number of times before, but today is his first in person. He's here with me in Tennessee, and we're at the Kaysen Trailhead for the MTH Park Moot later on today. So I'm excited to have you here, man.
No, damn happy to be here.
Yeah. So we're going to be talking about, who knows what we're going to be talking about, but I think I have a feeling we're going to be talking a little bit about one of your recent experiences with seeing Hylon.
Yeah, that was quite the experience.
Yeah, so give us a rundown from, I guess, the start of it all to getting there, to the ritual, to get leaving. I mean, just give us a whole experience rundown while I light this pipe.
Absolutely. So I first saw them back in January 2020, and it was definitely a very intense experience. At the venue, they were probably about yay big out in the distance. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I saw them again at Red Rocks in Colorado, and couldn't think more better venue and the atmosphere. I mean, Colorado, enough said.
Mm-hmm.
And then most recently I saw them again in Chicago. Fortunately not in January, where it was sub below freezing temperatures.
Mm-hmm.
The venue was pretty decent, and I had one of the first people to arrive at the venue, which is a huge bonus. And
first in line.
Yeah. And I actually friends with some of the members via Facebook, and I had the privilege of meeting up with a couple of them prior to the performance.
Oh, cool.
And then a little bit afterwards, really got to meet most, if not all, the members of Hylon after the show.
Like,
and
you hung out with them and stuff?
Yes, hung out with them at an after party.
Oh.
And that was very surreal, to say the very least. I mean, just being in the company of such incredible people, and it's just like meeting, you know, people you've always wanted to meet, and
yeah,
never imagined that to happen.
So the experience, I mean, you've obviously been a fan for a while, and we've talked about just the whole, you know, it's more than just music, you know, it's more than just a concert.
It's a ceremony. It's like a ritual.
And everybody that I've talked to, everybody that, you know, that you see on social media talking about it and talking about the experience, exactly say the same thing. Like, there's almost unequivocally, like, it's an experience, it's a ritual, it's ceremonial. And Hylon really embraces that as well. Like, it's not just what their fans and followers and whatnot think. Like, it's actually what the band pushes for. It's not, it's a ritual. And they call their they call their things rituals. You know, it's not come out to our concert, come out to our show. It's come to the ritual. What's the if you could, I don't know, maybe like summarize in one word what it feels like to be at a Highland ritual?
Healing. Comforting. And, yeah, that's mainly it. It's just being in a state of a ritual, a state of mind where you can, you know, commune with yourself and then the higher powers, be it, you know, the gods or whatever you choose to believe in.
Yeah. Is it a pretty mixed crowd of I mean, if you meet people and know people, like, yeah, they have a very strong, obvious, you know, Germanic and Northern European aesthetic to, you know.
It's a pretty general crowd. I mean, you have people who come dressed for the occasion, you know, in ritual garbs, or some people just walk around with just a regular band shirt, you know, one that says like, Slayer or something like that. Yeah. No, I'm like, no, I mean, it's to each their own. You know, some people go for entertainment, and more so than not, most people go for, as you mentioned, an experience, and that's exactly what they offer.
Mm. Yeah, I've thought about going a number of times. This is like, what, their third return visit to the States?
I believe so.
Something like that. Yeah. Which I'm glad for, because they obviously have a very dedicated following worldwide.
Yep.
But so I'm hoping that, you know, the next go around, I'll try to make that.
We definitely should.
It's been
a
busy year just for that type of music. I mean, I know Wardruna is coming here next month, I think.
Yeah, I'll be seeing them in Chicago again.
You're going up to see them?
It's my first time seeing them, so I'm excited about that.
Well, it's going to be interesting and like to compare, because, you know, it's kind of along the same lines of music, but a different, like Einar is a much different
energy
vocalist and energy. Yeah. Yeah, just in the whole thing, but very rooted in tradition, very rooted in you know, the healing nature of music and song and whatnot.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a lot of what, you know, people are needing nowadays is ways to heal through varieties of things, challenges, life events. You know, last week when I talked about the letting things go, right? How we, you know, the things that we find that we can use to help us let go, right? The things that kind of, I don't say fill a hole or fill a gap, but when you let go of something, you're losing something. You know, you're done with it now. So what do you do to replace that with? Do you fall into, you know, destructive habits, destructive behaviors? Do you find things that are wholesome and healing? And I think stuff like, you know, the music is definitely a tool that can be leveraged for that sort of thing. What do you think?
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I mean, music has always been a very big part of my life, whether it be for inspiration, for ritualistic practices, or, you know, more often than not with other bands, you know, just entertainment.
Yeah. And now we're out here healing ourselves today with other people, you know, so community, I think, is a big part of healing as well.
Absolutely.
And again, you know, you can sit and listen to music by yourself, but going to those events, going to those rituals, going to those ceremonies,
it takes it to a whole different level.
It elevates.
I mean, it's one thing, you know, seeing them on YouTube via, you know, a video such as this,
yeah,
but to be there in person, it just, it really amplifies it, and that's something that, you know, that I've been willing to travel outside the state, be it Illinois or the lovely state of Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll jump at the chance of going there any chance I get.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's like that's a ritual in and of itself, I think, too. Like, or it's ceremonial in a way, because, you know, you're taking yourself out of your comfort zone. You know, you're leaving a place that you're familiar with, and you're going to some place new that you've never been or that is foreign to you. And you know, there's always a level, I think, no matter, you know, I've traveled so much over the years, but every place you go that's new, there's this, always this level of like, well, where do I go? What do I do? You know, there's, you know, maybe some anxiety.
Yeah, the sense of adventure
degree
as well.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. It's like, you can, you know, some people are terrified by that. You know, some people don't want to leave their own backyards. And I feel like, you know, when you get stuck in that level of isolation from the world, you're doing yourself an injustice. You're
doing yourself huge a disservice. Yeah, exactly. You know? I mean, sometimes it really does pay off to go outside your realm of comfort more often than not, that I had to find myself having to force myself to do, you know, because it's like I suffer from depression, and there are many times where I just want to sit in my room and just watch, you know, various different TV shows, but I will push myself to go outside, whether it be a park or around my neighborhood, and 9 out of 10 times, you know, I'm out doing that activity, and I just find myself in a much more positive headspace, and that's very important in the state of mental health, because if you're stuck alone in a room, you're not doing yourself much of a service.
Yeah, you get caught yourself. You get caught inside yourself.
Exactly right, and that's not always the best place to be.
Yeah, I think when we push ourselves outside of our comfort zones, and I've, you know, when I used to go to like the gym all the time, like there were plenty of times that I was like, I don't feel like it, I don't want to go, I don't want to do it, you know, but I'd push myself to go do it and then feel great for doing it.
No, it really does pay off.
You know, you may not think like you're gonna be okay with it in the moment, but when you actually go and push yourself past that threshold, push yourself past that level of comfort, you're gonna be glad you did.
And you often find yourself, you know, seeking more adventures and more experiences, you know, to elevate that sense of accomplishment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because it does. It sets a tone. And you know, like, huh, wow, the next time I don't feel like doing something, look what I have to look forward to.
Exactly.
I can
right.
push myself because I've done it before, and now I know that in the moment I may not enjoy it, but the experience I will. And then you'll learn something from it.
Well, it's a lot like when I came to drive down here and the shenanigans that followed me.
Talk about that a bit.
Yeah, that's quite the story. So I started driving down here, and at first, all was well. Weather was fine. My car at the time was okay. But then when I reached about, I think it was like 150 miles away from here.
Yeah, you were still a good ways away.
Ago, yeah, my accelerator wasn't really working that well. So when you're driving down a highway, originally 80 miles per hour or 75, and then it starts to go down to 60 and 55.
And you're pushing the gas and nothing's working.
Yeah, the sense of anxiety that flooded through my veins was almost unbearable.
Yeah.
But I still wasn't deterred, and I still carried a hope and, you know, an effort to push on. And to, you know, not give up.
You have to in those cases. I mean, what are you going to do? You can't just say,
you can't just give up.
You can't just give up. I mean, you're 150 miles away from me, but you're also however many hundreds of miles away from where you started. So
exactly
it's
right.
Like, you got to do something, man.
If it's important enough to you, you make it happen.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's another thing, too, with, like, healing, is that you're... Healing comes in a lot of different ways, and quite oftentimes it comes through the challenges and adversities that we endure.
Absolutely.
We might think, oh man, I can't deal with this anymore, or it's too tough. No, this is part of it. This is part of the experience. This is part of what we have to go through. To, you know, I've heard it said, and I definitely agree that adversity, ordeal, it breeds worth. It's the thing that makes us worthwhile and worthy and worth something among our communities, our friends, our families, right? If we haven't been pushed, if we haven't been challenged, and if life is just always so good and so cushy, right? Like, what are you worth? You haven't been
tested.
You haven't been tested.
Yeah.
You haven't been put to the test. I like that. You haven't been tested.
With a lot of adversities, it's ultimately up to ourselves to let it make us or break us. And that's, you know, it's easier said than done. There will be days that your adversities will kick your ass.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are days that you'll find, you know, whatever battles and victories you can, you know.
Yeah.
Not every day is going to be, you know, sunshine and gumdrops.
Well, I think that's the whole point, is we need to get our asses kicked sometimes.
Yeah, it's a humbling experience, and you can't have the good without the bad, otherwise you wouldn't be able to tell one from the other.
Yeah. If it's all just sunshine and gumdrops, you know. if we today, here's a classic example of challenges or adverse, or like a minor thing. What were you saying earlier about if it's what's that phrase, that kind of a running joke that you were saying you have?
Oh, it'd be too convenient.
Too convenient, right?
Yeah, so today, we can't have that. If it's too convenient.
If Patrick didn't have any issues getting here, then that would just be too
convenient.
That's
too easy.
Yeah. If we today didn't have issues with the place, because this spot here, this pavilion here, is not the
not our first choice.
Not the first choice. No. We were going to be at Barfield Crescent, and I'll be honest, we didn't get up early enough, and I'll put that blame on me, because I thought, oh, we can get there about 8:30.
Yeah. I got up at 6.
So he was ready and ready to go.
I didn't want
to
wake you up.
Yeah.
Don't be disturbed. So.
Yeah. But that's my fault. You know, I should have actually gotten there much earlier. But we tried a few different options over there, and, you know, got halfway unpacked, and they're like, hey, in a nice way, like, you can't be here. Because they had other things reserved. You know, they had other things going on. Something to do with vultures.
Yeah, I believe
so. I kind of wanted to stay for that. I'm like,
that
I want to see some vultures
rather
or
interesting.
Whatever. If you have, like, actual vultures here. But, I mean, they're all over the place anyway, so.
Yeah.
So they had that going on. I had thinking our feet. And with places like this, you know, you never know what time of day when you show up. If it's, you know, a birthday party or a graduation or,
Or a family gathering.
Or a family get-together or, you know, somebody celebrating their, they got peach fuzz on their nuts or something. I mean, who knows? could be a bunch of things. But if they're here and they stake claim to that spot, then it's off limits. And that's what we ran into earlier. So I'm like, well, shit, you know, now what do we do? And now here we are. And this is actually probably a better setup than what we would have had at Barfield, because I think if people show up today that we expect to show up, we're going to need more seats. Thankfully, we've got dozens of tables here. And, you know, in a couple hours when people start showing up, hopefully we don't run into any other hiccups in the road. But again, it's that challenge aspect. It's that put you to the test.
It's now you got a level of excitement as well.
Yeah, it does. It adds like a, oh boy, you know, a sense of adventure.
Is a Karen going to stop by and potentially call the cops? Or yeah. I doubt it'll be that.
Nah, I don't think so. But they might, you know.
You never know, though.
Well, this place is reserved. Show me where, because we looked around. There's no signs. You know, there's no signs here that say reserved for so-and-so on a certain date. And so I'm like, well, if it ain't signed up and it's not showing it, then I guess it's fair game.
Yeah, fair game. Exactly right.
You know? But what else, man? We last week when I was talking about, you know, letting go, I don't have the audio for it for you guys to listen to here today, but I got a call from a guy out in Idaho. So Crow from the Deathlanders, he's a Gothi, I think, for a group out in the Deathlands of Idaho, as I recall. But he listens to the podcast. So, Crow, if you're listening, thank you for your voicemail. I got it. But the whole that topic of letting go really touched a lot of people. Like, I got a lot of comments on it on different platforms. You know, Crow called in. You obviously, I think you were listening to it.
Yep.
Either on your train ride there or back to Chicago. Or
letting go, I was actually down at my lake.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
Walking around the lake. And that's an interesting thing to mention, because you had sent me a picture of a heron. And as a lot of people know from the content that I share, river walks are like my thing and have become a very regular activity. And a lot of times when I'm in the river, I'll be in the presence or see herons or a heron. And it's become kind of like a companion of sorts to me. And, you know, I've talked about the heron in depth with other people. Hold on. Got a phone call from my wife. Hello. Hey, recording a podcast. You want to be on it? I'll put you on speaker. Heron. Yeah, the heron. Wife didn't want to be on the podcast, by the way. And she normally doesn't, but she called. She's on vacation. Talked to me for a little bit. But anyway, the heron. Back to that story. So being like that companion, being that
guide.
Yeah, like a spirit guide in a way, because my experiences with the heron, you know, it's like you're not going to get exceptionally close because they are wild animals and they're skittish, but getting so close to them when I can is like we're watching each other, we're observing each other, and I've had, you know, them fly over me in the river, they've perched in trees above and kind of just watched me do my thing. The ties that I have to like some of my Native American heritage, which believe it or not, I don't look it per se, but I've got Algonquin, which I know is a pretty like generic term of those tribes of people. There's a lot of different tribes that fall under the Algonquin nation. But they're a lot of the Indian tribes that up in like the Northeast are marsh, close to marshes, saltwater marshes, freshwater marshes. And so the heron is obviously a marsh water bird, and it feels like to me, you know, and maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but for me it feels like it's an ancestor on that side. And so I've perceived the heron to be a sort of familiar or filia or fetch. When you sent that picture of the heron, when you sent that picture of the heron, you encountered that creature after I had gone to the river myself. Like, I had gone to the river earlier that day, and you were then inspired to go out to the lake. Yep. And you were listening to the podcast, and when you went out to the lake, it was like the day before.
Yep, day before my departure.
Before
yep.
you left. It was Thursday.
Yep.
And I looked at that, and I don't know if I told you this, but I looked at that, and I perceived that as subconsciously, like I had no intention of going to the river and doing this, but without me even trying to, the energy, the purpose, going to the river, the intent, everything, just the intention of it all, moved that spirit to you, and the guide, that my philia, came to you without me trying to. And you saw the heron, and to you at the moment it was the heron, but to me I see that as like a sign for you to know that you're going to go and your trip's going to be prosperous.
Yep.
It's going to be a good trip. And with the challenges that came along the way, so far it has been.
Yep, that you has.
Know, like he got here yesterday, because we're recording now, it's a Saturday. He got here yesterday afternoon.
Originally I was supposed to get here at like 1:55, and then I had to stop the car several times to let it cool off.
Yeah.
And throw its little temper tantrum.
Yeah.
And then there was the issue with my battery. I didn't even mention that. Yeah.
Your phone battery.
I made the mistake of listening to music via my phone on YouTube and played that for about 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized very quickly. Yeah, I drained it very quickly. And I was probably about 10% battery when I was driving to your house. And I was scared to death that, you know, I'm also relying on GPS here for my phone.
Yeah.
So if that goes, it's just, I'm SOL.
Yeah. And I was even telling him, I'm like, maybe stop somewhere and get a car charger. You know, like a lot of gas stations will have them that'll fit the phone. But I was like, well, even as long as you get on XYZ road, like as long as you get on that road, I'll be out here waiting for you. And I was like, in case the phone died and you couldn't call me, I'm like, I'll be right out here. You'll see me. And sure enough, he did. Got here. We got you settled in. Went down to the river later that night. Got ate up by a bunch of mosquitoes because it's that time of year. And we're gonna go back to the river. We're gonna go back to the river tomorrow during the day and probably get in the water and do some river walking and see what we can see. And
some grounding.
Yep.
And I'll be bringing bug spray this time.
Yep. Once you get in the water, believe it or not, the bugs, like, there'll be bugs around, like dragonflies and stuff that fly over the water.
Of course.
But I've never had any major issues with bugs. Should have brought some bug spray today, actually.
That would have been a little too convenient, though.
A little bit too, here we go again, right? It would have been too
convenient.
I'm
telling you, it's everywhere you go. It'll happen.
At any point.
You just got to roll the punches.
You do. And, we've definitely had some punches to roll with, but nothing too, like, earth-shattering, nothing too...
No.
You know?
Very minor, for the most part.
But again, it's those things that you just constantly need to be reminded of, that if it's too easy and you get too complacent, you know...
It's not worth having.
Exactly. You don't remember those moments.
No.
They don't stick in your mind as an important mark in the road, an important milestone. we've had this happen too with our tribe before, where, you know, we were going to cut up firewood for an event. I forget which might have been like Sigerbloat or something. I don't know. We were cutting up firewood, and we thought, well, we'll go out here. We'll make short work of this. That way we can have more time to, like, party or drink or do whatever we want to do before the ceremony. We were going to bring a chainsaw out there to cut all the wood up. Chainsaw wouldn't start.
Of course.
Tried every which way. You know, checked the gas, checked the filters, did this, cleaned it out. Spent like 20 minutes trying to get that stupid thing to start, and it wouldn't. So it was back to axes and saws, and then, you know, we were out there just busting our butts for hours cutting up firewood. But again, we were able to enjoy the fire and so much more because we are reaping the benefits of the work that we put in, you know, the sweat, the exertion of energy, you know, all of that stuff being that you wouldn't have thought. Sure, yeah, cutting things up with chainsaws aren't easy, but when you're talking about, you know, fire for all night, like, you got to cut a lot of wood. And man, when you're swinging an axe for hours or sawing with a handsaw for hours, like, you're worn out by the end of it, and all you want to do is just sit down and relax.
It's also a very humbling experience when you see firsthand just what our ancestors had to go through.
Yes.
Like yesterday when I was driving down here, I mean, obviously they didn't have cars, they didn't have maps, they didn't have anything. I mean, they had the stars and the sun, and that was pretty much it. And it made me really appreciate the amenities and technology that we have today to make this a lot more easy to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good, like, paying homage to our ancestors by doing the things that, you know,
we take for granted.
We take for granted, yeah. And I've, you know, heard a lot of people make mention of, you know, what have you done to earn your life? What have you done to earn your next meal? Because we live in a time now where if I'm hungry, I just get in my car and go through the drive-thru.
Exactly.
Or I can go to the grocery store and pick up ingredients to cook. There's still people nowadays, modern-day primitive tribes, that if they're hungry, they got to go catch
something. Oh, hunter-gatherers, yeah.
They got to hunt, they got to fish, they got to harvest it from the ground, they got to go get it. And most people nowadays don't understand that struggle.
No.
They don't understand that in order to eat, you have to work. So I think it's an important message for people now you'll have a much better quality of life. You'll feel so much better if you put in the work to obtain what it is that you want, right? If I'm hungry, if I want to eat, okay, well, what have I done to earn it? I just woke up today. So what? What have I done? You know, lift
something heavy.
Get out
my debit card. Ooh.
Yeah, you know, but I mean, like, put in some effort, you know what I mean? Go out for a walk. Go do some push-ups. I don't know. Something that you can simulate as
the struggle
working
and the
for
plight,
your meal.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
It could be a very enriching experience, I would imagine, too, for all those people who hunt for their food, for example, like deer or elk or what have you.
Yeah. I mean, shoot. Have you ever gone hunting?
No, I would like to someday.
Yeah. Nowadays, it's a little bit, I think, different. But, like, I've hunted deer. I've hunted turkeys. Of course, I've gone fishing. You ever fished? You ever gone
Of course.
Fishing?
I'm
yeah.
not a savage. I had a pretty decent upbringing, and fishing was definitely part of that. Not crazy about it. I mean, I'll do it with a couple beers, maybe.
Yeah.
Really,
throw a case of beer in the boat. And
I'm not a very patient person either, so you can ask any of my friends. They'll be like, oh, yeah, he can't wait for shit. But
yeah, that's the other thing, too, is like when you're hunting or fishing or any sort of game, you know, activity like that, you have to have patience because a deer's not just going to walk across your path. A turkey's not just going to land in your lap. A fish isn't just going to jump in your boat or in your net. Like, you got to wait it out. You got to, first of all, look for the signs, right? You're not going to throw a fishing line into a swimming pool because obviously that's not where the fish are at. You need to know where to go for the thing that you're trying to get. You need to read the signs of nature around you to know that what you're going after is accessible and available to you there. So again, it's a whole thing, man. It's a whole mood. It's a whole ceremony in itself. And then when you do, capture your prey when you've killed your deer or turkey or you've caught your fish, it is. It's so enriching and it's so rewarding that, you know, the time that you spent waiting for them or the effort that you took tracking them or, you know, reading the signs of nature around you to know I need to cast my line under that tree, not in the middle of that rock or something. You know what I mean? Like, it is. It's a great way to connect to your primal roots, you know? It's another part of healing.
I appreciate it that you're not counting on that to survive. Yeah. For, you know, your day-to-day meal.
Yeah, can you imagine how people would be now? Man, nowadays I think there'd be so many people that would absolutely just croak if they had to go back to
within weeks.
No electricity, no running water.
No Wi-Fi.
No internet, you know. If you want to go anywhere, you got to walk or get on an animal that'll carry you.
Provided that they let you.
Yeah. I grew up kind of in a similar type city. I would maybe say it wasn't like primitive modern day primitive tribe living, but it was kind of like almost like a like Amish in a way. You know, like, yeah, we had running water, we had electricity, but you know, we raised cattle for beef. Everybody had gardens. We would and the farm that, you know, raised the beef cattle were raised on, the steers were raised on, you know, we cut those fields, you know, we cut the hay, we mucked those stalls, we did all those things, we fixed the fences, nobody else did it, we did it ourselves, you know. So it's definitely an enriching experience, and I think more people nowadays that haven't had that type of lifestyle or were raised in that sort of lifestyle are definitely missing out. So if you have that opportunity, take advantage of it. Maybe put yourself in that position. And it doesn't necessarily have to be like an everyday thing, but I say, you know, what have you done today to earn what you've got? The modern day conveniences and that makes our lives so enjoyable, because we really do. We have it easy. We have it very easy. And if we're not doing things, I think, to honor our ancestors' legacies, you know, and not feeding that well, then it's, you know, we're doing our ancestors a disservice also.
And I like to point out that it's not a point to make yourself suffer. I mean, that might be part of the process, but it's mm-hmm. to develop that sense of appreciation and awareness that what's most often taken for granted.
Yeah. Now, that's an interesting point that you say, making yourself suffer or making ourselves suffer. We suffer in life anyway. Life is full of suffering. Are we going to be victim of the suffering, or are we going to put ourselves through ordeals and put ourselves through challenges that are going to condition us to deal with that suffering better? You know, so again, I could say, you know, I don't feel like going out to, you know, the river today. I don't feel like going on a walk today because I feel bummed out about, you know, life,
my job or whatever,
things that are real and that, you know, you have to. Or I could say, you know, I need to go out and I need to do this because it's healing. It's that time that you put yourself through that challenge, put yourself through that ordeal, and come out stronger in the end. The suffering that you're going through, whether it's, you know, physical suffering, mental suffering, spiritual suffering, you know, if you're spiritually lacking, if you're, you know, feeling disconnected from your spiritual path or religious path, right? Putting yourself through these things can really light a fire up under you. Here comes a plane.
And a lot more people.
Yeah.
You might not see it, but we have about
15
plus people swarming us right now.
It's a busy day at the park, which is great. I mean, it's a nice day out. And
of course, can't really fault him for that.
People are out here enjoying it, and that's what we like to see. We like to see people enjoying themselves in the outdoors and not just being tied to a TV or an app or a phone, you know, so. But yeah, man, I think that's a wrap. What do you think? Anything else that we missed?
Well, I mean, I was also going to point out the practices of reciprocation.
Oh, yeah.
As well as intentions. That can go for spiritual practices, relationships with ourselves, with our gods, and our family. And that's, and even with the, for example, like the groups that we follow, for one example, Heilung, for for that reason. They've been someone that I've looked up to and have helped me through some very difficult times, even to this very day.
Mm-hmm.
And to really, I really invested myself and shared my appreciation and joy for what they do and what they sacrifice. I mean, I can't imagine the time they take away from their own families and their friends to come over here to the States and travel all across the country. I mean, financially, it seems very daunting as well. But that's something that they're willing to sacrifice to provide the healing and, you know, experiences that they offer.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they have a life, right? And but this is like as much of a ritual experience as it is, and a ceremonial thing for it to be a part of. It is, it's their livelihood. You know, it's like they could be doing anything to earn a living, right? This is what they've chosen to do. This is what they've embarked on to do, and they, you know, commodities and stuff that they get to enjoy are by giving back to people.
Yeah, and that brings me to, you know, when I got to meet them in person, it was a very humbling and very joyous occasion to have really experienced that point of reciprocation, to know that they appreciate me as much as I appreciate them. And that's something I never imagined would have ever happened. I know they appreciate everybody as a fan base and a following, but on a very individual level, it just, like I said, transcended all expectations that I never even knew I had.
Yeah.
But that also, you know, like I mentioned a few moments ago, is whenever you're practicing, whether it be, you know, the heathen path or pagan path, when you make an offering or, you know, you feel lacking in something, it's just all based on your intentions, you know, like putting your heart and soul into what you are trying to obtain or what you're trying to experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's, you know, I think that's just good life advice. You know, sure, we look at things from a very, you know, Patrick's pagan, and so am I, and, you know, this podcast is focused on heathen-related topics and things of a heathen nature, but you could put this on anything.
Oh, any practices,
Yeah, anything, even if you don't have a specific spiritual path or religious path, if you're just, I mean, it's good life advice.
Yeah, relationships with our families, with our, you know, loved ones, and even our careers, but most importantly, ourselves. Because, you know, what we put in is what we get out. And
that's true.
That can come down to, you know, what your diet is.
Yep.
Or what activities you do. I mean, it's a very important thing, and something I often neglect is I find myself thinking, man, I really need to take better care of myself. You know, whether that means, you know, cutting back the amount of beer that I drink or the amount of cannabis I ingest.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just to show that sense of love to myself. Like, you know what? I want to feel better. I want to do better. And that's something that I think, you know, is back based to intentions and, you know, that level of commitment that it takes to do something like that.
And you'll be of better use, and you'll be of better worth to your community, to your people, when you take better care of yourself, when we take better care of ourselves, because then we're not going to, you know, be struggling through physically demanding activities when it's required, you know, because that's so much of what I think we have lost with community itself is, you know, everybody says that they're available. Oh, if you need anything, just hit me up, right?
Right.
They don't. Really, like, because when you do hit them up, and then where are they?
I'm kind of busy right now.
Yeah, like.
But there are those out there that do stand true to their, you know, their offer.
Yeah.
And those people.
Yeah, it's not everybody.
You know,
not everybody's like just gonna blow you off. But for how out of the percentage of people that say, if you ever need anything, just hit me up, and then you ask them for something, what do they do? Oh, I can't, or I'm not gonna, or they don't. They just ghost you, you know.
Mm.
Stuff like that. So, again, taking care of ourselves makes us of better worth, so that way when people are in need, you can rightly and confidently be available and then live up to it.
A position of experience as well,
mm-hmm.
you know, to practice what you preach and to be, you know, a living example. And, you know, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. So do it, man. Like, get out there and be a living example. It doesn't have to be heathen, doesn't have to be pagan, but it definitely fits this model, you know, like
we,
it fits, it checks all of the boxes, right? So for everybody that's listening, watching, thank you so much. Thank you, Patrick, for being here today with me. And thank you for, you know, going on in this adventure with me today. You see firsthand just how the best made plan sometimes, and if you're not being on top of your game, how the challenges, the things that come up that put you to a test, you were here for it.
Yep.
We got through it together. And we'll see how the rest of the day goes, but hopefully we're here and have a great time with people. And
should be very interesting.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll be talking about it next week too, kind of give a recap of it. So yeah, more to come on all that. But yeah, for everybody that's again listening, watching, thank you for your support. Don't forget to check the link in the description or show notes of this podcast for all the ways that you can support Midgard Musings and the Random Heathen Ramblings podcast. So until we see you all again, may the gods continue to notice you. May your ancestors smile upon you.